Now, direct from CBS News, this Radio Net Alert Bulletin.
This is Christopher Glenn at the Kennedy Space Center in Florida. There is a major problem which developed just a few seconds into the flight. We could see it happen. There seemed to be some kind of an explosion aboard the rocket. And all of a sudden, all communication with the spacecraft was lost. Obviously, it is going nowhere at this point. It looks as if debris is falling out of the sky. It almost appeared as if one of the solid rocket boosters or one of the spacecraft main engines went awry and something happened.
The flight director confirms that. We are looking at checking with the recovery forces to see what can be done at this point.
Oh, a great tragedy here. Krista McAuliffe, the first private citizen in space, and the rocket has apparently exploded in the first minutes of flight. We're trying to get some information by listening to Mission Control.
We will report more as we have information available. Again, to repeat, we have a report relayed through the flight dynamics officer.
A terrible
thing. The vehicle has exploded. We are now looking at all the contingency operations and awaiting word from any recovery forces in the downrange field.
A terrible thing. Debris falling out of the sky, falling slowly, painfully, tragically slowly toward the Atlantic Ocean, just a few miles offshore. This flight, which was to have been such a bright chapter in the history of the manned spaceflight program, turning in a flash of an instant into terrible, terrible tragedy. Of course, Mission Control only giving very scanty information as they scramble to try to find out what happened and to determine exactly what the status is. But as you heard them say, apparently the shuttle Challenger exploded within the first minute or so of flight, and the fate of the crew members is unknown, but it does not look good at all. The smoke just crazy patterns in the sky, contrails from bits of debris going down toward the ocean, still falling. People in the grandstands, fans who had come to for many miles from all over the country to wish Krista McAuliffe well, sitting stunned, some of them leaving and shaking their heads in disbelief. We can see them from where we sit. An awful
shock. Mission Control, Houston. We have no additional word at this time.
A terrible sight, and one certainly that I had hoped that I would never have to see. So NASA looking at its contingencies at this point, but really it looks absolutely awful. It looks like there is no hope for any of the people aboard that shuttle.
Reports from the flight dynamics officer indicate that the vehicle apparently exploded and that impact in the water at a point approximately 28.64 degrees north, 80.28 degrees west.
The worst fears of all of us
who have covered
space for a long time realized
from,
this morning at Cape Canaveral.
The location of the recovery forces in the field to see what may be possible at this point.
It appeared as if the debris from the exploded Challenger shuttle came down.
And we will keep you advised as further information becomes available. This is Mission Control.
Came down just a few miles offshore. So, of course, they will be rushing boats out to that area to try to see what they can find. A most terrible sight, a most terrible event. Naturally, a great deal of confusion as we try to piece together exactly what did happen. And so far, there has been no specific word on what caused the malfunction, what caused the explosion aboard Challenger. It just seemed to be going perfectly, and we had watched it leave. We had thought all was going well, and within 10 seconds after our previous broadcast of the launch of Challenger. A bright orange flash in the sky. One piece of the rocket seemed to break off from the rest of the main assembly. The main engines were still going on the Challenger itself, and then this spark, it seemed, an ember almost, flipped out to the side, and all of a sudden the smoke contrails were no longer straight and true. They were haywire and going crazy in the sky, and it was obviously and immediately apparent that there was an awful disaster had just been made. Still now, we can see that smoke as the wind starts to carry it, and its patterns are dispersed in the bright blue Florida sky. It was an absolutely perfect day for a launch, and everything did seem to be going well, and then all of a sudden it happened. Krista McAuliffe and her crewmates, the pilot, Mike Scobie, and astronauts Smith and Michael Smith and Judy Resnick, a mission specialist, has flown before. Ellison Onizuka, a mission specialist, he'd flown before. Ronald McNair, a black American astronaut, mission specialist, he'd flown before. Gregory Jarvis, payload specialist. And S. Krista McAuliffe, 37 years old, Concord, New Hampshire, school teacher, high school at Concord High, and listed as a teacher observer on this flight, but of course she was more than that. She had been picked from over 10,000 teachers who applied to be the first private American citizen in space, a mission which had been called for by President Reagan some time ago and had spent many months in training for this moment. And then she and the rest of the crew had suffered many delays as the Challenger sat on the launch pad and waited out the weather for 3 days in a row, some mechanical snafus which at the time we thought were embarrassing, but now, of course, that is all shrunk into insignificance alongside of this awful, awful tragedy. We can see people running from the NASA headquarters building
this
here.
Is Mission Control, Houston.
Trying to get a better look out over the water.
With recovery forces in the field.
That news that the
ring safety equipment. Recovery vehicles intended for the recovery of the SRB in the general area. Those parachutes are believed to be paramedics going into that area.
Paramedics now parachuting into the Atlantic in the area where the debris from Challenger fell.
Chris, this is Judy Muller in New York.
Hello,
to repeat,
Judy.
We had a...
We are following this with you.
Apparently normal ascent with the data coming to all positions being normal up through approximately the time of main engine throttle back up to 104%.
Mission Control saying now that everything on the instrument readings in the launch center seemed to be looking all right.
The flight, there was an apparent explosion. The flight dynamics officer reported that tracking reported that the vehicle had exploded and impacted the water in an area approximately located at 28.64 degrees north, 80.28 degrees west. Recovery forces are proceeding to the area.
Chris, we just saw the parachutes going into that area.
Yes, Judy, those are, according to Mission Control, they are paramedics who are parachuting into the area where the debris fell in the Atlantic.
My controllers reviewing their data.
What they will find there is not known.
Provide you with more information as it becomes available. This is Mission Control, Houston.
So about the gleanings of that Mission Control report was that everything was looking nominal as far as the instruments were concerned, and that this apparent explosion aboard Challenger just happened in a flash with no forewarning and no instrument indication that anything was amiss as the shuttle headed out downrange over the Atlantic in the first minute of its flight.
Chris, as you know, the voice of NASA, the voice of Mission Control, whatever voice we hear, is always calm. But in this today, of course, we hear a different note of terrible.
Well, it's a steely tone, I think, one that is a forced calm, and the way you get when you are faced with an intensely emotional and tragic situation and try very hard to cover it. And I must admit I feel the same way.
Here in New York, we see the pictures on the monitor of NASA that sends up of Mission Control, and the faces in that room just tell it all.
Certainly do. Grim, everybody sitting still, very little movement.
This is the first such failure in 56 such man in space missions.
Never before has there been one like it, and I very much hope that there never will be again.
We have come to accept this nominal idea. We're so used to things, except for minor glitches that we've been hearing about in recent launches. Except for those minor glitches, we're so used to this going almost flawlessly that we, I think, have taken it for granted almost.
That's true. The hard part of this, I think, is that they plan so carefully for emergency situations. They can turn around immediately after launch and come back and land at the Kennedy Space Center if anything goes wrong. They can have an abort across the Atlantic at any one of numerous transatlantic landing sites in Western Africa. They can abort once around the world and then come down again in California or even back here at the Cape if they have an emergency in the first orbit. They can abort to orbit if something goes wrong just before they get there. They can go up and get into a preliminary orbit and then see what they're going to do. As a matter of fact, they've done that once, but to have it happen without any warning whatsoever, without any chance whatsoever.
With all those computer backups, telling them when anything goes wrong, even a hatch problem, it's amazing that something wouldn't have shown up. I wonder in all that debris if they'll ever know.
I don't know. I don't know how deep the water is at that point, but I imagine that it's probably still well within the limits of the continental shelf, and it's probably not too deep for salvage operations. There has been, of course, no official word on the fate of the crew, but from our vantage point and from what we could see, and we could see it all, albeit it was several miles away, it did not look like they had a chance. It doesn't appear that any of them could have survived.
This would be tragic if it involved anybody, a member of NASA, an astronaut, but it is especially tragic with the first civilian in space aboard. I imagine her family was watching, or is at the Cape.
Indeed they were, husband and children. And many dignitaries from all over the country, and literally hundreds of educators and school kids who had come here to watch a person that had become something of a hero to them fly away into history. And perhaps history was made here today, but it's not the pleasant variety, not the glorious variety at all. This was to have been, of course, NASA's most ambitious year. They had more than a dozen shuttle flights planned, which would far and away top the number that they've ever been able to launch in a single year before. What's going to happen to those plans now, what this is going to mean to America's manned spaceflight program or to the space program in general, of course, remains to be seen. Right now, there's no talk of that, only of determining what happened and getting the official word on the fate of the seven-man crew.
Chris, this happened just about a minute after launch. Did it not up to that point, since I was not there, could you describe what... Did it look all right up to that point?
Oh, it looked perfect. It looked like every other space shuttle launch that I have ever seen, and I've seen about 10, I think, and everything was going very smoothly. Mission Control was sounding very, very confident. The shuttle was climbing up into a very clear, blue, cloudless Florida sky, and all of a sudden, flash, and the one bright flame that we can usually spot as the spacecraft carries out over the Atlantic for dozens and dozens of miles became two bright flames, and it looked almost as if one of the solid rocket boosters had exploded and split off from the spacecraft, sending it, of course, in a crazy spiraling pattern for a few seconds, and then debris started to fall out of the sky into the sea.
Of course, they have search and rescue recovery people standing by for all these missions, but it's almost become assumed that they would never go into action. It must be terrible for them, too.
They've always been ready, and certainly they had people parachuting into the crash site in the water within, I would say, 2 or 3 minutes after the event. So they were ready, and they did perform as they were supposed to, but there seems little chance that they'll find anybody alive out there.
For those who may have just tuned in, could you go over who the crew members are again?
Yes, of course. Frank Scobie, the commander of this mission, Michael Smith, the pilot, Judy Resnick, a mission specialist, Ellison Onizuka, mission specialist, Ronald McNair, a black astronaut, also a mission specialist, Gregory Jarvis, who is a payload specialist, and Sharon Krista McAuliffe, a 37-year-old high school teacher from New Hampshire who was to have been America's first private citizen in space.
And for those of us who have covered the space program for several years, some of those names are firsts in themselves. Ronald McNair, the first black astronaut in space. Judith Resnick was the second woman, I believe, in space, or third. She's among the first, certainly. Dick Scobie, a veteran of space flights.
Yes, he is. Well, mission audio has been silent for a few minutes now, and there has been no word specifically on what happened. All about all that the mission people have said is that there was an explosion aboard the shuttle Challenger, and of course the crew members at that point are very securely strapped into their seats. They have no ejection seats or anything like that, any kind of life-saving device like that, which you might expect to find in a fighter plane. And when something like that happens, it's just the end. There is nothing they can do about it. They don't wear parachutes. There wouldn't be any way for them to get out of the spacecraft if they had the chance to do that anyway. They're sealed in there until they land.
As we see in NASA's optics, the Atlantic is just a stretch of blue calm, belying what has just happened here. I see no debris. I see nothing as they scan the horizon there.
No, I'm looking at that video picture too, and I can't see anything like that either.
You mentioned the solid rocket booster seemed to explode and burst away.
Well, I was you know, tracking it with my eye, and it seemed that something popped out to the side. Another flaming rocket piece popped away to the side of the spacecraft, and the main body of it carried on for a little while longer, and then started gyrating and twisting in the sky, and finally started plunging straight down.
There was, of course, a crowd of spectators in the stands.
Hundreds of them.
Hoping to celebrate Krista McAuliffe's triumph today.
Yes, it was pretty grim. I looked over that way as soon as I could tear my eyes away from that terrible tragedy in the sky, and people were just leaving. What else could they do? They were getting out of the grandstands and walking away. Some of them seemed to be shaking their heads in disbelief, but there didn't seem to be any hysteria, no running. They just, like I, could not believe what their eyes had just recorded in their minds.
A terrible thing for you and everyone there. And I think it will take some time for the shock of this to sink in.
Yes, indeed. Let's just recap here. We haven't gotten much additional information from NASA recently, and we'll just say that within 1 minute of what appeared to be a perfect launch, there was an explosion this morning aboard the Space Shuttle Challenger carrying teacher Krista McAuliffe and 6 crew members to orbit. The rocket seemed to spin wildly in space for a few seconds and then plunged into the Atlantic. At the Kennedy Space Center in Florida, I'm Christopher Glenn, CBS News.
CBS News, this is Doug Poling. What appears to be a terrible tragedy at the Kennedy Space Center. The shuttle Challenger with 7 crew members exploded shortly after it was launched about 20 minutes ago. Challenger exploded and went down in flames less than 2 minutes into launch. It went out of control and appears to have fallen into the ocean. We have no word on the fate of the crew. CBS News correspondent Christopher Glenn is at the Space Center. Chris, what can you tell us now?
Doug, I was watching the launch. Everything appeared to be going well. We were doing our broadcast and had just signed off, and about 10 seconds later, this was about 45 or 50 seconds into the flight, There appeared to be an orange flame shoot out from one side of the shuttle Challenger. It seemed almost to split in two. The main body of the rocket then went into some gyrations for a few seconds, and then debris started falling down into the sea, and we could see it happen. It was indeed a terrible sight. It was terrible for the mission controllers, too, and this was their first reaction.
We have heard...
looking very carefully at the situation. Obviously a major malfunction.
So that was the way Mission Control gave the news to the world that Shuttle Challenger had exploded. Apparently, all the crew members, none of them did survive.
All right, we hear the ships and helicopters have raced to the area around the control center, and we also hear that paramedics have leaped into the water, apparently to try to find any of the survivors. The crew members on this ship are Commander Dick Scobie, Pilot Mike Smith, and crew members Judy Resnick, Ellison Ozanuka, Ron McNair, and Greg Jarvis. Also, Kristen McAuliffe, a school teacher who was to become the nation's first civilian in space. At the White House, Presidential News Secretary, Assistant Secretary Larry Speaks has spoken just a few moments ago. And now we take you to what he had to say.
The president is deeply concerned and shocked at what he has just seen replayed on television concerning the shuttle launch. We do not have any more information than is being provided to the public at this time. The way the president found out about it is he was in the Oval Office with a group of senior staff preparing for some questions with a group of network correspondents and anchors that were having lunch in the White House today regarding the budget and the State of the Union. The Vice President and the Foreign Policy Advisor, John Poindexter, came in with others and informed the President that the news had just broken. We immediately adjourned our Oval Office meeting and went into an adjoining room, the President's study, where there's a television, and the President then began to review television reports of the explosion there shortly after the launch. So once again, the president is concerned. He is saddened. He is very anxious to have more information on it. At the moment, as I say, we're learning most of our information from what the public is getting.
As Larry Speaks, the Assistant Presidential News Secretary, to recap and repeat what we know at this hour, the Space Shuttle Challenger exploded into a giant fireball just moments after liftoff, about 25 minutes ago from the Kennedy Space Center in Florida, and apparently the crew members might have been killed. At least that's the assumption at this point. There is no announcement. Oh, no official announcement about the fate of the crew. It appears to be no way they could survive at this time. Christopher Glenn is at the Kennedy Space Center. And, Chris, so what can you tell us now?
Doug, very little else. As you might expect, the NASA people have been very, very reticent with the information while they try to put together the details of this tragedy. They did tell us, as you mentioned a little bit earlier, that helicopters and rescue ships were on the way to the crash site, which appeared to be only a few miles offshore, and that paramedics had parachuted into the water. And also, as you mentioned, there doesn't seem to be much chance that anybody survived this wreck. There are no emergency ejection systems or anything of the kind aboard the space shuttle. They have to fly at least until the main rocket cuts off, until they can do anything. But this just happened in an instant, in a flash, without, NASA says, without any indication that it was coming. The instrument readings were all normal at that point, and it just exploded in the sky and came down. They never had a chance.
It appears, of course, that the $1 billion spacecraft Challenger was destroyed, and this is the first in-the-air disaster in 56 U.S. man-in-space missions, although three astronauts were killed in 1967 in a launch pad explosion during the Apollo program. The crew members aboard Challenger today were Francis Scobie, the commander, Pilot Michael J. Smith, Judith Resnick, Ronald McNair, Ellison Onizuka and Gregory Jarvis, and of course, Krista McAuliffe, the 37-year-old schoolteacher from New Hampshire who was selected as America's first citizen in space. To repeat, the Space Shuttle Challenger has exploded shortly after liftoff from the Kennedy Space Center, and apparently all seven astronauts aboard were killed. We will have continued coverage of the Space Shuttle disaster over many of the CBS radio network stations. This is Doug Poling, CBS News.
Now, direct from CBS News, this Radio Net Alert Bulletin.
This is Judy Muller in New York. The Space Shuttle Challenger exploded after liftoff today, apparently killing all seven crew members, including the first civilian to be launched into space, Krista McAuliffe. There is no announcement of the fate of the crew, but it appears that there could be no way they would survive. The spacecraft appears to be destroyed, the debris being scattered into the Atlantic Ocean. There is no clue right now as to what might have caused the explosion. There was no indication of any problems on the computers in mission control. No one had any indication that anything was wrong. It was the first in-the-air disaster in 56 U.S. man-in-space missions, although three astronauts were killed in a 1967 launch pad explosion. That was during the Apollo program. Again, the Space Shuttle Challenger exploded into a gigantic fireball moments after liftoff today, with many, many people gathered at the Kennedy Space Center in Florida in the grandstands where they gather to watch launches. Among those people were the school children, some school children, some of the family members. Christopher Glenn is at the Kennedy Space Center now. Chris, have we learned anything new?
Well, Judy, we do have with us now NASA spokesman George Diller, and perhaps we can get some additional information from him. George, can you add anything to the reports that we received from Mission Control?
Not a great deal. One of the problems at this point is before we can send any emergency teams in to see what state the orbiter is in, if it is in fact intact, is that there is debris that falls from that altitude that takes a considerable amount of time to impact the ocean. That is normally 15 minutes after any mishap. There is the possibility that we have gotten some paramedics into that general area, but most aircraft and ships will stay clear until the period of debris has ended, because the debris falling out of the sky obviously endangers the planes and the ships that would be going in to do whatever rescue attempt that can be done. So we don't know what the state of the orbiter is at this time, and as soon as by calculation we know that the debris has cleared, then we can go in and check the impact area, because we do know from a flight dynamic standpoint where the vehicle has impacted.
Can you tell us where that would be? How far offshore?
It appears to be about 20 miles off the Cape. This appeared to have occurred as they were throttling back to go through the sound barrier, through what we call max Q, where you have the maximum stress on the vehicle. And it appeared that we had an early solid rocket booster separation. We don't have any indication on you know, what the actual state of the solids were, because we had good data on the solids and on the orbiter up until the time of the explosion. So everything is still very sketchy. I guess the big unknown at this point is whether or not the orbiter is intact. And if it is, we'll be having crews go to the point where has been tracked to impact.
Now, this very painful question, is it possible that anyone could have survived an accident like this?
It depends on whether or not the orbiter is damaged. If the orbiter did not explode and it is not seriously damaged, it will float for a period of time. That's why we try to get crews in as soon as we can, because there is a period, I believe, of about an hour where there's no problem.
Now, to my eye, at any rate, it seemed as if a part of the rocket assembly came off at first, and the main portion of the rocket was still going forward for a few seconds. Do your instrument readings give you any indication of exactly what part of the vehicle was involved in the explosion.
Well, that's what I say. When it appears that we had an early solid rocket booster separation, but we don't know if it is one if one of the solids exploded or what has actually exploded, because all the data at the time that occurred was good from both the solid rocket boosters and from the main engines of the orbiter, so we don't know what happened.
Mm-hmm. Judy Muller in New York, I understand you have a question for George. Judy?
Yes. President Reagan has been following developments, Chris, at the White House, and we're going to go to Gary Schuster at the White House now for reaction. Gary?
The president's spokesman just came out and told us that the president was preparing to meet with some network correspondents in preparation for his State of the Union address tonight. He was going to answer some questions and talk with them at a luncheon here in the White House. When just before he was about to go into that luncheon, his national security advisor, Admiral Poindexter, came in and told him what had happened. The president and some senior aides then went in a study, which is right next to the Oval Office, we're told, and watched the repetition of the blast-off and the explosion, apparently, that occurred in air. And the president, as speaks, described them, just watched the television, the repeat of it, in almost stunned silence. Mr. Speaks said you could almost see the sorrow and concern on the president's face. He said that basically that they only know here what the news media is reporting. They've had no special reports from Florida, and basically they are getting their information from the news media as it becomes available.